I want to speak about the ways of a disciple. The ways of a disciple. John chapter 8, verse number 31. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ
had finished a certain defense about himself. And then the Bible says that many believed in him. Just by talking. Just by talking. They believed in him. Hey, there are things I will show you today that it is so easy to believe. But Jesus appears to want to let us know something. And then he says that I am happy you believe me now. However, if you will do something, if you will do something now that you have believed me, then you will become true disciples of me. And what was that? He said, if you abide in my word. So we see that Jesus is talking about one category of people and a different category of people. Jesus is saying that after you believe, you should matriculate, you should grow into becoming a disciple. I want to prophesy to 5,000 people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that may you grow as you abide in the word and become a true disciple of the Lord. Who is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. A disciple is not a social media follower.
Social media,
disciple is somebody who has decided to follow the master and do everything the master does. What the master says is what he will do. What the master be, how the master behaves is how he will behave. That is a true disciple. Many people are just believers. They believe that the Lord is God. They believe that he will come again. But they are not ready to become his disciples. Hey, there are many stages. Every organization, every industry, everything has its way of life. You cannot enter a hospital and start playing ampe. You cannot enter an intensive care or a theater. Or where they are recovering, the intensive care unit. And then you start speaking in tongues.
No.
Even if the Holy Ghost is on you. Because there is a way that they behave there. There are prescribed ways for disciples. And I pray that you will be able to follow the ways of a disciple. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 1 to 3. The Bible shows us the categories of disciples. Or I would say the categories of Christian maturity.
1 John 1:1-3.
Read.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Concerning the word of life.
Listen to this. He says we heard something. And then we saw it. Then we looked closely. Then we were able to handle it. These are four classes of discipleship. The first group, they are admirers. They are admirers. They are the people who hear. Anybody who is a hearer here is just an admirer of the kingdom. But those who see and who go further to look, they are matriculated. Because first you heard, and then we say, wow, somebody can prophesy. Now listen. So there are many ways. As somebody is listening to me, they could admire this. And they say, wow, that is the hearers. First John 1, he said, the things we heard. There's another stage. He said, after we have heard, we went closer to see. And when we saw, we went even closer to look upon. That is the matriculation. That is the enrollment. That is the maturity. And then after that, he said, we handled. When you get to that stage, you have become a disciple. When you get to that stage, the things you saw, the things you heard, now you have come to handle. You have heard the power of God. You have witnessed the grace of God. You, not another person. Then you have entered into discipleship. What is the purpose of discipleship? Look at the next verse.
The life was manifested.
Yes.
And we have seen.
Yes.
And bear witness.
Go to verse 3.
Verse 3, that which we have seen.
He says, the thing that we have seen
and heard,
and the thing that we went on to hear,
we declare to you.
We declare to you. Blessed man of God.
That you also may have fellowship with us.
So the reason, the purpose for the spirit of discipleship that comes upon us is for us to also make disciples, for them to experience the things we have experienced, for them to hear the things we have heard, for them to see the things we have seen, for them to handle the things we have handled. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I prophesy to people that you will be able to also declare unto others your experience. Your experience. That is why it is important for you to graduate, to matriculate from hearing to seeing, to looking upon and to handling. I prophesy to you, may you hear, may you go on to see, may you look upon, and may you experience. I remember many years ago, I was working as a doctor, and I was on night duty. The place was very quiet, so I decided to take a little rest. People shouldn't criticize me. I just took a little rest. I was just behind the emergency. After about 30 minutes, a hand touched me and said, wake up, go, a boy is coming, go help him. The hand touched me. It touched me. He says, what we heard, we went into discipleship last Sunday school, midweek teaching, online prayer, and we saw something. And then the more we saw, we got into another place where now we could handle it. Hey, I pray for you that the encounters of the Lord shall not only be by the hearing, but you enter into experiential knowledge. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for you. Spirit of discipleship shall come upon you. In the name of Jesus. Discipleship is very costly. Today I want to pray for somebody who is ready for the work of discipleship. That you will not build this on the testimony of other people. You will have your own experience. I say you have your own experience. Discipleship is costly. The ways of a disciple. Very, very costly. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your resources. It will cost you your comfort. It will cost you your pride. Somebody say pride. When you want to be a true disciple, you will lose your pride. Nobody will tell you, but you will lose it. Because when you enter into the presence of the master, you will lose it yourself. You will realize that pride cannot dwell in the presence of the master. No. Pride, bitterness, envy, hatred, gossiping, they are not the ways of a disciple. It cannot dwell. If you were a true disciple, the moment you start praying, it shouldn't take you 2 to 3 minutes. The presence of God will come. If you are a very true disciple, if you are not just a hearer, if you are not an admirer, hey, they said there's a prophet coming, let us go and admire him. But if you are those who have matriculated and cannot handle the word of life, you realize it won't take you 5 minutes, by 5 to 6. I want to speak to a disciple that you cannot hold a grudge and grow. You remain at the hearers level. You will not be able to handle. Ah! While Jesus walked on earth, many people were attracted to his ministry. They loved his ministry. They came in their numbers. They ate his miracle food. They clapped for him when he walked on the water. But only 12 men, only 12 men were able to leave everything and submit to his lordship. Only 12 men and a few people. Out of them, somebody did something. So 12 minus 1.
Hallelujah.
11 people. Tell the person sitting by you, if Jesus was alive today, will you be part of the 12? Will you be part of the 70? Will you be part of his disciples? Or will you be those that came to eat bread and went away? One day in Luke 9, verse number 57, the Bible says three guys decided to come and follow Jesus. Three men, three people. The first one said, Jesus saw him and said, wow, I want you to follow me. Hey, the same way Jesus called Peter, he called this boy. The boy looked at Jesus. Then he said, Jesus,
yes,
I will follow you. Then Jesus said to him,
yes,
the foxes have holes. The birds have nests. About the Son of Man, I may not have a place to lay my head. I said, discipleship is costly. Another man, Jesus said to him, follow me. The same way he called Peter, this one said, oh master, let me go and bury my dead father. And then Jesus said, hey, let the dead bury their dead, but you follow me. Then there was a third man who said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and say bye-bye to my people. These were three people. They came to Jesus. They were admirers. But they were not believers. Even if they were believers, then they could not be disciples. Because for comfort, for their comfort, family attachment, and people attachment to friends, these three prospective apostles walked away from the discipleship. They walked away from the greatest master of all time. Can you imagine that Jesus is calling a person and he says, wait, you wait, Jesus. I said, wait. Jesus said, what is the problem? He said, I want to go and tell Akosia bye-bye. I want to let my girlfriend know that Jesus has come in. I want to let my people know that I am going to follow Jesus. Discipleship is not a boastful experience. Discipleship is a very silent experience because it is costly. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 21, a very rich guy came to Jesus. He wanted to pursue him. Jesus said, discipleship is costly. He said, tell me and I will do it. Jesus said, go and sell everything you have. Give to the poor. The Bible says he went away sorrowful. Many people have walked away from life's greatest teacher. I want to encourage you that don't remain at the level of admirers. Don't remain at the level of just believing. Go on to become a disciple. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price? A believer is different from a disciple. Not all believers are disciples. But every disciple is a believer. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Not all believers are disciples. Most of the people that came to Jesus, they believed in him. But they were not willing to sacrifice. But everyone that sacrificed was a believer. I'm praying for you that you'll be able to pay that price. A believer can be made out of a miracle. Even giving prophecy to somebody can make somebody believe. In John's Gospel, chapter number 9, one day a blind man was healed by Jesus. And then this man went about talking to people. And when he did, the Pharisees took him and said that, you are his disciple. Then he said, do you also want to become the man's disciple? So they decided to cast him out. Verse number 28, then they said that you are his disciple. But we are the disciples of Moses. Are you with me?
Yes.
He said that you are his disciple. John 9, verse number 28. He said, then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Then they sacked him. So when you go to the verse number 35, now the people thought that the man that was talking about Jesus was a disciple. I want to teach you about the spirit of discipleship. You cannot be an admirer and think you are a disciple. Many people that have filled churches are just admirers. And do you know the sad thing, man of God? They are not even admiring Jesus. They are admiring the man of God. There are people that admire men of God. And they are not admiring Jesus. The people thought he was a disciple because he was talking, having a testimony about Jesus healing his eyes. But look at the surprising thing in John 9:35. When Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and he found him, Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Hey! But the Pharisee said he's a disciple. Because he had benefited. Then he said, I don't even know who this Son of God is. Hey, I am speaking to you here. Do you know who this Son of God is? Or you are just going about with your testimony that all I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. Because he kept saying that everybody thought he was a disciple, not knowing he was just an admirer. Admirers are not disciples. You need to handle it to become a disciple. Jesus said to him, are you even a believer? He said, I don't even know who this God is that I've been worshiping. Then Jesus said, I am he that is talking to you, which you have. He is. Immediately. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. It was very easy. It was very easy to get this person to become a believer. When you read John chapter 1, don't bother reading it, verse number 43 downwards. Another man became a believer by prophecy. His name was Nathaniel. When Jesus had called Philip, Philip went to call Nathaniel. And when Philip called Nathaniel, Nathaniel said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathaniel was a doubter. He was a critic. There are many critics for this ministry outside there. There are many people that doubt you. But I have news for you. The best thing, not the good thing, but the best thing shall come out of Nazareth. They are critiquing you. They are doubting you. But I have news for you. It's not a good thing that came out of Nazareth. It was the best thing that came out of Nazareth. Can I prophesy to an Akosia of Teshi?
Hallelujah.
Can I prophesy to an Afi of Nungwa? That those who are thinking whether any good thing can come out of you, the best things shall come out of you. This doubter, this critic, when he came, he saw Jesus. And Jesus ministered prophetically to him and said, "Hey, Nathaniel, a Jew in whom there is no God." Immediately, he said, "How do you know me?" I told you about a blind man who became a believer because his eyes were healed. Watch another man. Because of prophecy, he became a believer. Jesus said to him, "When you were under the tree, along the Nungwabua road, I saw you. Before Philip called you, I saw that you were buying kenke. And then you live in this house there." And then he said,
hey.
No, go to around 48 or 49. Then he said, "Hey, Master."
Nuncho.
Next verse. He said, "Master."
Nuncho.
And then he worshipped. He worshipped him. Immediately. I want you to remember. This is the guy. This is the guy who said that can any good thing come out of Nazareth. But when prophecy came, he knelt down. He said, "Master, Rabbi." Immediately, he became a believer. But listen to this. Jesus Christ did not allow him to dwell on the prophetic. Jesus Christ rather redirected the guy's focus from the prophetic. I am talking to prophets. I am talking to pastors. I am talking to Christians. I am talking to gifted music ministers. That the thing that is in you will attract people to you. But don't keep them to yourself. Redirect them to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because even Jesus, he said to Nathaniel, "Is it because I told you your name and told you that I saw you because you believe? Is that the reason why you believe?" He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you," go to the next verse, "you are about to see greater things than this." Can I stay there a little bit?
Hallelujah.
Can I dwell there a little bit? The guy was amazed by prophecy. The guy was amazed by prophecy. And the moment he got so amazed by prophecy, Jesus said, "Because I said, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe me?" He said, "Wait. You are about to see things greater than prophecy, greater than the prophetic." Can I speak to somebody? The prophetic is very low. In the ladder of great visitations, the prophetic that talks about names and who you are and where I saw you is one of the lowest levels of the prophetic realm. Don't worry if you cannot call somebody's name. After all, he will know his name. Don't worry if you cannot tell his address. Jesus is saying something here, that there are greater things than that. What is it? He said, "You are about to see the heavens open. You are about to see the Son of Man lifted up. You are about to see angels ascending and descending." Jesus redirected Nathaniel to the glorified Christ. He redirected Nathaniel away from himself, the historical Christ, the man from Nazareth. He redirected Nathaniel away from himself unto the exalted Christ. And the thing is very serious, because it is still Jesus. So he could have allowed Nathaniel to worship him and say, "Oh yes, 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 I mention your name. I told you your address. Yes, it is me. But he said, don't even consider this man. Wait for the one that shall be glorified. The Christ that is coming. I pray for somebody who is about to receive a full revelation of Jesus Christ. The exalted Christ. It is important that we redirect the people after we attract them. After the admiration, after they hear our voices and they want to come, after they hear our songs and they want to come, after they hear your teachings and they want to come, after they see the miracles and they want to come, it is important that we take the attention of ourselves and send it towards the Lord, the resurrected Christ, the glorified Christ, because he is the one that all glory belongs to. We have to redirect it. I've seen men of God minister to people of different faith and religion, and the people were so shocked at the grace of God. Yet when they finished, they let them go. They didn't direct them to the exalted Christ. The heavens do not open for men. It opens for Christ. It has to open for Christ. He is the one we should redirect him. And the reason why we need to do this is because that encounter that made them admire the thing and made them even believe will not continue forever.
Hallelujah.
Oh, because now we're born. The man had a prophecy and then believed. The man's eyes were open and then believed. It is important that we redirect them away from that experience unto the resurrected Christ, because that prophecy, that miracle, he will not have those things all the days of his Christian walk. So sometimes, even though it was a prophecy that brought you to Christ, you realize now you are not getting prophecy. Sometimes your eyes were healed and that made you believe, but now your waist is paining you and the waist can never go. So it is important for the agents of religion or the ministry, the ministers of the ministry, to redirect the people away from their initial experience. We have to let them know that sometimes, even though it was a miracle that brought you, sometimes in this work of discipleship you may not receive another miracle again. But the most important thing is the first miracle that caused you to believe him, that caused you to admire him, that caused you to look upon him. Maybe a blind man, a deaf ear opened, but today, your child is sick, the leg is paining there. After 21 days of prayer, it still does not go. If we had not redirected you away from the man unto the exalted Christ, you will keep going to the man. He's a prophet of God. Do the thing you did the first time. Do the thing you did the first time. Praying for leaders, pastors, ministers, church workers, choristers, that after we attract them, let us redirect them away from us unto the Lord. And let them know that sometimes the marriage may delay, but it does not disqualify the journey. Let us allow them to know that even though a miracle brought them Sometimes they will not have miracles all their years. Let them know that sometimes there will not be money. Sometimes there will not be children. Sometimes there will be no employment. Sometimes our prayers may not be heard. But it does not change, because we have removed our focus from the man God used unto the glorified Christ Jesus, who has said, I will be with you in all things, even to the end of time. So we got to let them know. We got to let them know. We got to let them know that it does not matter whether the marriage delays, whether the money is frustrating, whether the children are sick. One thing we know is that once we were blind, but now we can see. Anything that has happened after that, I am still in a learning process. I am still following the master. Even the master, one day he felt forsaken by the master God. Yes. So the work of discipleship, you have to know. Some of you can just get angry. And you can even get angry at your pastors. Hey, like Rachel. Give me a child. Lest I die. Am I God? We have to let them know that the greatest miracle was the one they received that brought them to Christ, that prepared them for eternal life. After that, the journey of discipleship, it's not full of miracles. It's very, very costly. It's very costly. Are you ready to pay the price? Are you ready? In Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16 onwards, three boys were taken by the king, and they were put into a furnace. They said, you have to bow. If you do not bow, we will burn you. Then they said, oh king, read it for me.
Daniel chapter 3 verse 16.
17. Okay, yeah, 16. 16, yeah.
16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king.
Look at that. I want you to get to that place. That even if there's a delay, greatest miracle of any disciple is his first. Listen, but there are people, pastors, prophets, evangelists, choristers, church workers, who have decided not to redirect the people back to the glorified Christ. The fact that somebody can call your name and prophesy so deep things does not mean it's from God. Because if that man was a true disciple, his life will be like the life of the master. The master did not keep 5,000 people waiting and he was riding in a motorcade. Don't tell me the donkey was motorcade. No. If he wanted pride, he would have chosen a horse. That is why the second coming will not be on a donkey but on a horse. Because he's not coming as a lowly king anymore. Hey, but pastors today, ministers who have experienced the master and should lead other people to experience it. Today, even Jesus redirected Nathaniel away from himself. He looked at the blind man and he said, do you believe in God? Not me. Yes. Are you a disciple? A disciple is a follower, a learner, a copycat of the master. You have to showcase the master. They call them Christians because they look like the master. Today they are not Christians, they are pastorians. Because they are now following this man. But those men are not the good news. That pastor is not the good news. That prophet is not the good news. It is Jesus that is the good news. And even Jesus told Nathaniel, don't be amazed at this Jesus, for this Jesus is going to die. But look for the one that the heavens are open for.
Oh no.
Experience now ye nya ye no. Ye bo awon ta ro se de mo nso be nya bi. Any church, any pastor that does not redirect you to Christ, but to himself, is a fraud.
Second Corinthians 2:14.
I'll
be closing now. 2 Corinthians 2:14-17, and then we will go to Luke 23:39.
Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place.
Thanks be to God. Man of God, such a powerful scripture. He says we thank God, who leads us to triumph in Jesus Christ. And through us, somebody say through me.
Through me.
Give somebody high five. Say through me.
Through me.
Diffuses.
Okwa.
Diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God. Who through us, he's giving us triumph in Jesus.
But through us, diffuses.
So when we spray ourselves, the fragrance, the nice smell. Now, scripture is telling us that you are the bottle. You are the bottle that God press. So the Lord is saying, you that have been saved, you are this bottle that he uses to distribute the fragrance of Christ.
Hallelujah.
So when the room is smelling and you get there and the Lord presses your head, then all of a sudden people are like, then the people who were going to hell, by the fragrance that is diffusing through you, the Lord will lead them to triumph in Christ Jesus. Continue.
For we are to God the fragrance of Christ.
We are to God. Say, I am to God.
I am to God.
Say, I am God's perfume.
I am God's perfume.
To distribute.
Christ.
In this world.
For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Mm-hmm. Among those we are being saved. Mm-hmm. And among those who are perishing.
He says that we are to God an aroma.
Mm.
An aroma.
Ma.
When you enter a place, people should smell that the disciple of Christ is here. You
can blow to those who are missing and still give to those who are
better. Hey!
In Luke 23, when Jesus hung on the cross, don't read it for time. There were two people by his side. Then he diffused an aroma of life to one of them and death to another. Are you here? One man said, if you are the master, save yourself. Then the other said, hey, are you not afraid? He said to that one, tonight, you will be with me in paradise. Hey, an aroma of life. Then the other one that did not believe, he was condemned. I'm praying that as the Lord presses you to diffuse, through your trials, how you comport yourself in your pain is releasing an aroma to somebody. How you comport yourself in your struggles is releasing life unto somebody. Just by looking at you, they will triumph through Christ Jesus. This is our purpose. In closing, I will tell you 7 ways of a disciple. A disciple learns from the master. He learns from the master with the intention to be like him.
The
Bible says that as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. Number 2, a disciple clings and follows the master no matter the circumstance. When Naomi had 2 sons, Opa and Ruth married them. But when the boys died, when circumstances came, one of them left. But Ruth said to Naomi, entreat me not to go. Don't tell me to turn back. For where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, there I will die also. And I will be buried. This is the journey of a true disciple. And I don't want you to say this to a pastor. I want you to say this to the exalted Christ. That where you lead, I will go. Where you stay, I will be. Where you instruct, I will stay. Where you teach me, there I will be. A disciple abides in the word. A disciple, the word of God has placed in their heart. Are you a true disciple? A disciple is not proud. A disciple is not emotional. Because the experience that brought us to Christ is usually emotional and sentimental. But when we are going on, we should not be emotional. But I want you to know that when you are in your place of discipleship, don't be emotional. Have you seen Kung Fu masters, karate, and they have disciples? They serve. Today, if you forget anything I've told you, don't forget that the greatest miracle of a disciple is his first miracle. I brought him to Jesus.